This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Happy to be with you here today.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse gave an answer about Joel Embiid that might make you feel a little bit better, a little bit at least. We'll get to that in a moment.
Ooh, okay.
215-592-9494. OG Wade is on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG?
Killing it.
Listen, I'm hearing all of these, these guys, man, everybody talk about Jeller can't throw the ball now. Now all of a sudden he can't throw the ball. First he was a turnover machine, so he had a turnover in three games. Now he can't throw the ball and this and that. Let me enlighten some people to something.
Thank God.
Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles offense is going through what they call a new offense. Okay, you got a new offensive coordinator. So naturally, they're not going to look like they were in 22 when they was running Jalen's offense. And then last year in 23, when they was running Nick's offense, the big issue that Nick and Jalen had last year was Jalen was not comfortable with the offense that he was running. That is why they had that issue. And that offense obviously was ranked 7th, right, last year. And the reason why they brought Kellen Moore in, because front office agreed that they didn't want to go back with that. So what we're doing right now, we're watching a quarterback go into learn a new offense. So it's not going to be as rosy as the Detroit Lions, who's been running the same freaking offense for four years now.
It's true.
Okay?
It's true.
People need to understand how to compartmentalize what you're watching on the TV screen. I know this is not sexy talk.
You told us for years that this is Jalen's offense. It doesn't matter who they bring in here. It's Jalen's offense.
Jack. Didn't I just say that they changed the offense?
That's not what you said.
Here's what I want to say. And I always told people this here. The reason why I felt Jalen was the best in the league was because he was running his own offense, and he was in it for the second year, and it was going to continue on if Nick could keep his, whatever in check. Now that is not the case. But here's the bright side of the thing. We're 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you look at last week's game where a team had to make an adjustment that the game plan that they was coming out with at first didn't work, so they changed it. Isn't that what we want to see? Don't we want to see a coach that has the ability to change in game instead of waiting until you lose and then you change? No, we changed it and we started running. That was successful. We didn't need Jalen to throw the ball more than 14 times. We literally ran the ball to keep the clock running, literally. There was no way the game was in to the point where we had to throw the ball. Why is everybody taking those numbers so literal and say, oh, we can't throw the ball? That don't mean you can't throw it. It just means that you are being successful doing something, so why go away from it? Why are we trying to make big out of little?
Hold on, OG. That's not exactly what happened, though. That's not exactly what happened. They tried to throw the ball several times in the beginning of the game. Yeah. He held the ball too long, and he ended up with sacks. So that's – I know you're going to tell me I don't know the game and blah, 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 but that's what happened. So
listen. Hold on. Let's stop right now.
Yeah.
He ain't doing that. I don't have a problem with you, Spike.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not saying you don't know the game no more. I'm done. I ain't doing that.
Thank you.
Did I not just say we came out one with a game plan to do something, and we changed it?
They changed it.
So for whatever reason we changed it, we changed it. This is a team, not a jailing team. They're not a JJ team.
Yeah, but we're talking about – I know, but we're talking about Jalen right now. And just real quick, the reason they switched to the run is specifically because – of the failure in the passing game, and some of that had to do with him.
Okay, Spike, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You think some of it had to do with Fred Johnson not being able to block the edge?
It had some to do with that, but he also – but all, yes, it had some to – it had some to do with that, and it also had some to do with Jalen holding the ball too long, because he wouldn't have been sacked if he didn't hold the ball too long. He's held the ball longer than just about every – quarterback in the NFL this year. And we have, and the only thing I would say is that, you know, we have a set of weapons that would lead you to believe that if they weren't doing that, I can't buy the nobody's open thing, and that's why that happens. It doesn't seem like that's true.
I didn't say that.
I'm not saying what you said, OG. I'm just saying that that there has to be some reason why he's holding the ball too long, and that's not productive.
Let me give you what I believe could be the reason why he's holding the ball.
Okay.
Okay, you have what you call long developing routes that's in this offensive system that Kellen Moore is running, okay? This is not a West Coast offense. Everybody want to see the quarterback under center. Guess what? That's not a West Coast. That's a West Coast offense. That's not what we run here. So stop asking for Jalen to do something that other teams do, because that's what their philosophy is. We have a philosophy. And it would be nice if the fans could accept that and stop looking in us to be like San. We're not the Detroit Lions. We ain't San Fran. Well, Philadelphia Eagles.
But
okay?
But so Kellen Moore offenses in both Dallas and San Diego did have way more under center than the Eagles are doing currently. That's just a fact.
And you know why that is? And let me explain something to you about Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore has never, ever beat any good teams. Okay, so I don't want to hear all this great stuff about Kellen Moore. I wasn't on board with his system when he was in Dallas. And nor was I when he was in with the Chargers. He's here now. He's our guy, and we got to deal with that. So right now, I think the main thing for us to do is try to get Dylan to be able to run Kellen Moore's offense as best he can.
Okay.
That's what I believe Dylan is out there trying to do. And
can we win like this, OG? OG, can we win like this?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Here's how we can win.
All right.
We have to get this every week. Right now, we're not good enough to win it. No. We have to get better every week at what we're doing.
1%, some people say.
Hopefully, we can stay healthy.
Win the day.
Hopefully, we can stay healthy, because that's the thing that seemed to be the main part is your tight end, that your all-pro tight end we supposed to have. He missed 6 games a year, every year.
Well, that's true.
He comes back. So we need some consistency. Continuity is what wins in the NFL.
But you also know this, though, OG. Players get injured. Like, you know, Kansas City, hold on. Just hear me out, because I'm with you. But Kansas City basically lost all their starting receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're undefeated.
Right. You know why?
Well, because the team – no. I'm not telling you Patrick Mahomes is playing great. I'm not saying that. I know the defense is there. What I'm saying is that we can't use that somebody is injured for a reason why – you know what I'm saying? Like, we have to be able to overcome some of these things. Some of it is coaching. Coaching has to coach better there. But we got to be able to keep winning. And we need to be better later in the year than we are right now in our passing game. And I think we will be. I actually feel better, man. We get through this weekend. I don't know when I'm going to come back and say Monday. I don't know when I'm going to come back and say Monday.
Don't say it yet.
Yeah.
Don't say it yet. Then we'll hold you to it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. We get through this weekend with a W. Mm.
Hey, OG.
I'm back in.
We know you're big into meat. What is your go-to meat?
Well, first of all, I don't do the meat games. I don't play them kind of games. But if you were talking real beef, you know,
we're talking real meat, man.
Come on, dead animals.
Yeah, don't. All right, the one I like, the Japanese ribeye. Yeah, the Wagyu.
Oh, the Wagyu. He's going expensive.
Wow. Well, he's a high class.
Yeah. He is a high class guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys ever have the Wagyu?
I've had the Wagyu before.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had the Wagyu.
Yeah, I did not pay for it.
That's right.
Well, some people eat the Wagyu raw.
I've seen that. Yeah. Yeah, I can't eat it raw.
A lot of carpaccio out there.
Carpaccio. As we learned through OG Wade's calls, everything has to be perfect for Jalen. No one can get hurt. No offensive coordinator can leave.
Yeah, that's why I had to jump in there. Like, no, we're not doing the whole injured
Saquon
thing.
Saquon has to rush for 150 yards a week. There's as long as we have all that, you can win with them.
So are y'all ready for the take I had?
Yes.
All right, well, it popped back in my head.
Yes.
I need to go ahead and get this out.
Yes.
This is not the year for the Super Bowl. It's next year.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, and what's your reasoning? Well,
that's the camera's 2-year plan.
I'm just saying, we need to be in the same system for Jalen at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have everybody. Listen, this is the great part. We're not losing anybody after this year. Everybody maybe Slay.
Yeah.
Right? Probably Slay. Other than that.
Goddard. Probably lose Goddard.
Oh, yeah, Slay and Goddard. Okay, yeah. I forgot about Goddard. And like OG said, we get Goddard like 2/3 of the season anyway. Yeah.
Jalen doesn't know he exists.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we're going to be better at the end of the year. We're making the playoffs. So don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen out there. We're making the playoffs, and depending on our matchup, because I think we're going to win this division, I think we're winning at least a game. So we're in the second round of the playoffs. You take that, you build off of that. You don't do a whole lot to the roster coming back next year because now we can build that continuity. You got an offseason that you already had it in. We come back next year, man, we're ready to roll.
Look, all I know is somebody on this show predicted 10 wins and win one playoff game. So yeah. I'm the real football guy. That's all
I still got them at 12-5.
Oh, this year still 12 wins? Okay.
Yes, dude.
You're going to have, if we win 12 games.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be talking Super Bowl around here.
Oh, I know they will, but that don't mean they're going.
Okay, all
right. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
That, listen, I hope I'm wrong, quite frankly. I hope I'm wrong. I'm just saying, you look at Detroit, they have been in that system for 3 or 4 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this stuff does matter. San Francisco, same system every year. We aren't getting the best version of what this team could be because they are still learning. Right? I mean, can we agree with that?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are still learning. And it is fair to say, in Shane Steichen's system the second year, the offense looked totally better than it did the first year.
Totally. And after you jinxed the Phillies by saying they're going to win the World Series, I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, so you're trying to jinx them? Or yeah.
Yes, that's what he's, yeah. Well, I hope you're right.
Cut that audio.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
No, what about
I jinxed the Phillies.
Yeah.
I tried to hang in there with him the whole time.
I know. Yeah. You both which I appreciated. Yeah.
You both jinxed.
Once again, there's too many things working against the Phillies last year. So how are they supposed to overcome all the expectations? I just don't. What do you want them to do? Win?
Now, the one thing you can't say about the Phillies.
You're such a little coward.
The one thing you can't say about the Phillies is that they have been in the same system.
Well, yes. Again. Whatever the baseball system is.
I'm just saying they've been under the same manager.
Hitting coach, same manager. They're awfully comfortable over there. Yeah. The one thing you didn't account for in your Eagles will win the Super Bowl next year take is the bidding war for Kellen Moore being head coach.
Yeah, I'd be shocked when that happens.
You don't think there's going to be a bidding war?
I don't think so.
Well, 2026 is going to be the year of Philadelphia.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the All-Star game here.
What is it called? What's that?
Bicentennial?
I don't think that's what it's called.
Well, it's some kind of centennial.
Because it's 250.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Yes. Yes, we have the MLB All-Star game here. Yeah. We have the PGA Championship here.
Yes.
Aiden Miller will be up.
Aiden Miller will be
here. Andrew Painter will be up.
A World Cup game will be here.
It'll be Embiid's second title.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah, see?
2026. It's the year of Philadelphia. The shame is I wanted to go to New Orleans.
Oh, for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like nah, next year, it's over. I mean, it's
yeah,
fun.
It's kind of overrated.
We're not been? New Orleans men. I can tell you that.
I can tell you right now. Yeah. No.
You don't think I'm a New Orleans man?
Wait a minute.
I don't think so.
We came back from the Mets game. This guy's ordering DoorDash. No. You're half asleep at the sushi place.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not a New Orleans man.
I'm not a New Orleans man. I went with my wife a few years back. It's fun that all the ghost tour stuff is fun, but the party.
The Bourbon Street.
No.
All of that.
No.
2026 is in San Fran, so that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Ooh,
that'd
well, be
expensive.
San Fran is not the greatest place to go visit, right?
The crime wise is not a great place. But I'd rather be there than New Orleans. Well, I don't know.
I've
been to San Francisco.
I played in San Francisco, but I've never been to San Francisco.
It's a cool city.
I've never been out in San Francisco.
It's a cool city. It has its problems just like every other city does. So, speaking of Embiid, who I just mentioned, Nick Nurse had some reasonably positive Embiid stuff yesterday. We will play you that right after I tell you about some reasonably positive stuff about your windows. So the negative part is that they need to be replaced. I'm sorry, you know it in the back of your head. I'm telling you it, but you know it in the back of your head. The good news is that if you go Guida right now, they're going to make the whole thing easier on you, more affordable. Buy one, get one half off. Every door, every window you buy the next one 50% off. Mix and match the savings however you want. Buy an entry door, get half off on a storm door. Buy a patio door, get 50% off on a window. Mix and match it all you want. You replace everything in your house, half of what you replace is going to be 50% off. But don't wait. You wait every time I tell you not to wait. This is for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. Call 877-GO-GUIDA to get a free, no obligation, in-home estimate. Or if you don't like calling anyone, I understand it. That's fine. Go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. So you remember Nick Nurse's first answer about what's wrong with Joel Embiid. He was sort of confrontational.
Snippy.
And would not answer if Embiid was injured or not. Just basically didn't answer. So he was asked again. I believe this was Devin asking him the question.
The Bulldog.
Yeah, Devin turned into quite a little reporter over there.
Oh, man,
It is. I don't mean little, but
right.
I mean, you know.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. She's,
quite the reporter.
Yeah, she's getting the job done.
Well, especially because she's got to look at you, Ram, in the eyes and say, I'm getting this question in. And I don't know if you can look you, Ram, in the eyes.
Yeah, well, you got to beat your Ram to the tough question. That's a tough job.
Yeah. When you look at you, Ram, that's all you're going to see is his eyes.
His eyes,
exactly right.
Yeah,
that's actually. He's in sweatshirts in the middle of summer.
Two sweatshirts. The guy's
and a mask.
Mask bundled
and
up.
Pants.
Yeah.
Two masks.
That's
two
how,
of them.
That's how he gets the answers. They're terrified of him. So Devin
no
asked.
No problems here.
Devin asked Nick Nurse about Joel, and here's how it went.
In these first three games, is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
The plan is why he's not playing, yes. He did not re-injure himself, but the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is that they've determined that he's not quite ready to go, hasn't been in any full court scrimmages, etc. And that's the plan.
He did not injure himself. Mm. He did not re-injure himself. So if they're lying, at least there is a quote out there that specifically leads them to say it. And, you know, him saying that does, especially after the NBA is going to look into it. And Bobby Marks posted this the other day. The NBA almost has to look into it if a star player misses a nationally televised game.
Yeah.
And then if two star players did, which they did, they look into it.
Yeah.
But him saying he's not injured and he's, what are you laughing at? Over
well, it just
there?
Sounded like he was in a hostage video.
Yes,
I mean, like it was the least convincing. He's like, it sounded like they were telling him what to say.
Well, that's what they should have done. And that's what he should do in this situation. Because there's things
clearly,
he can't say.
Yeah, he clearly didn't have the answer for the other day. Yes.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because people will believe this as well. From the surgery that he had, the injury that he got earlier.
Yep.
Is this some sort of effect or after effect from that, the knee swelling? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be a new injury. It could just be
No, I think it's definitely that.
Yeah.
I think, but when people keep asking, well, what is he ramping up from? He had knee surgery. He hurt it again before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there is a clear, when you watch those games at the end of the year, but I think it was against Orlando when he twisted it up again because he didn't play the last couple of regular season games before the playoffs. There is a notable difference in how he was moving before and after that. And he was clearly hurt in the Knicks series.
Yeah.
So whatever, and then he went and he played in the Olympics,
right,
which did not, it, whatever time he had between the end of the season and the Olympics was clearly not enough time to heal whatever it is. And then
right,
he played the Olympics again, which delayed it. I think it's a combo of that, and that knee has had more than one
sure
issue.
Sure.
So I truly believe, now I do think he's going to have problems with the knee the rest of his career. He's 7'2",
yeah,
275 pounds. He's had enough of knee issues. If you've had, it's really hard to not have issues after a couple of knee, because you're going to have arthritis in there. He's going to have
mm-hmm
that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I truly believe they want it as strong and him as fit as he could possibly be going into this year.
Yeah.
I truly believe it. And for everyone who is disappointed that he's not going to play in this, he's not going to play in that, look, the guy averages about, since the throwing away the first 2 years, is averaged about 60 games, 55, 60 games a year,
mm-hmm,
which I think is probably what he'll play this year. Maybe it's closer to 50 or 55, right, but I think he's going to play the same number of games. The goal is to not have
that. Provided he doesn't have
another
any injury.
Injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the goal is to have him play that amount of games by strategy and not by, hey, he can't go for the next week,
right,
because of this. So I think it's directly related to the spring.
Yeah.
Knee injury.
More so than, it's understandable why people are upset he played in the Olympics,
mm-hmm,
right? Because that was a hot topic,
yeah,
about playing in the Olympics.
And I understand it. I don't agree with it. I still
I'm okay with you. I'm not going to be a hypocrite because I'm go get your gold medal, man. Yeah, I'm good with it.
I think it means something.
It does, but it does. Yeah. It does beg the question that had he not played in the Olympics, that time could have been used to,
yes,
sort of strengthen the knee, and then he would have been ready.
Yes.
Early.
And here's what I would, I don't know this for sure, but here would be my other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he doesn't go to the Olympics, and this wouldn't be the first time he's had a summer off after an injury, and he hasn't come into camp with the right mindset.
This is
before.
True.
So what I would say is that I would put at least some, I would at least devote some of the, hey, he is looking at this season the right way, hey, he has lost 25 or 30 pounds, to the Olympic experience.
Okay.
I would hope that some of what he experienced this summer has put him in a different mindset. And a different, he's had a lot of opportunities to lose weight. And people keep saying this. They keep saying, well, why did he wait till now? I agree. But here's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to tell you, if I were to come back and say, okay, those two things were at least an indirect result of the Olympics, and we're going to pay for it by not having him for the first week or two of the year, is it worth it? I would come back and say yes.
Okay.
I would say that is a fair trade. If you're going to knock 25 pounds off of him, have him give up the not caring about the MVP, not playing back-to-backs, all that, only focused on a title, is that a fair trade? I would take that trade. That's what I would take that trade. And yes, him playing in the Olympics, I'm sure set him back. Not a setback, but set back the timing.
Yeah. Certainly slowed down the healing process of his knee and rested and everything.
Well, because before you can rehab the way that they want to rehab, with him practicing and scrimmaging, he needs the time off, and
yep,
he didn't have that time off. But I think to a certain extent, the Sixers were like, well, he's had the whole summer off before after an injury, and we didn't come back into camp in great shape or with the right mindset or anything like that. So we might as well try it this way.
Yeah.
They're trying everything that I think they've probably wanted to try prior and haven't been able to try, and they're trying it.
And they got him to be able to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah. And look,
he has to stick to it, though, too.
Yes.
Because I could see, I still don't trust that he's going to just willingly sit against some marquee opponents.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that he said out loud, and he said it, that they can throw the quote back in his face. Mm-hmm. He said, they're going to need to stop me from doing it. Like I think his gut is going to be, nah, I want to go.
Yeah.
This is national TV. No, it's this, it's that, the other. I think, but if I were Nick Nurse or Daryl Morey, I would say, you told us, you specifically said this is the only thing that matters. This doesn't matter. And he would have no retort to that.
Nope.
The answer is, you gave us the answer.
No, he would say, I did say that at the time.
Yes.
I'm playing tonight.
I'm playing tonight, yeah.
Only playing the home games. That's my official stance. If you're going to sit him.
For sure, because all we care about is the fans who go down there to see him.
If he's going to play 40 games, how would they make them just home games? How would the NBA handle that one?
Yeah, probably not well.
They'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure the other teams would love it, too.
And to be to be completely transparent, I'm with you on accepting where we're at with this. I'm good with it. I am. I'm not outraged, frustrated. Now, of course, I don't buy tickets to go to the game, so I can understand where people who pay for tickets
100%.
Are upset about it. And, and a lot of people, that's who you're hearing from, but I'm about the postseason, man. Let's get him to be at his best late in the year.
And the only thing I'd say about tickets is, how is this different than last year or the year before that, when he misses a ton of games anyway? So the only... It's not good. I'm not happy about it. But the only thing that we might get out of this is at least they're telling you this is why and this is the goal. And it'll feel good if it works out that way.
Why are you clapping, man?
Painter's shoving right now.
Oh.
Andrew Painter's making his third Arizona Fall League start. Five pitch first inning.
What's the chances he's our fifth starter?
Well, he's going to... So I think he's going to be in the rotation eventually. I think he's not...
Next year?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to start. I don't think he's going to opening day be on the roster.
Right.
And I think they didn't manage his innings. He's not going to pitch more than 120 innings.
Right.
You know, for a guy who forgets a lot of stuff in that room, you sure watch a lot of baseball during that show.
I would argue. I don't know. I'm not sure what I've forgotten recently. I nailed Casas 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, great. All right. Coming up next. Oh, more Jack. Great. Top 5 at 5. What do we have to expect in the top 5 at 5?
Some unbelievable audio.
Yeah, I'm going to concur. This is some of the best audio I've ever heard.
One of the toughest scenes I've ever seen in the history of WIP.
Yeah, if you like cringe audio,
it
doesn't get better than this, actually. So that is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.